Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers are giving thanks that LeBron James may be back for this weekend set against the Spurs. Pat Beverly, not so much. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, always free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the show, generally speaking, a little bit earlier than the straight audio product. Plus, you get to watch us do it, do a lot of fun things with visuals and make it worth your while to subscribe to the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. Thanks to everybody for making that channel grow as fast as it has. Participating in the comments section. We try to weave those into our shows whenever we can. Thanks to everybody for doing that. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. The Lakers, Andy, they hope to be giving thanks for some continued good play, perhaps with LeBron James coming back in the lineup against a slumping San Antonio Spurs team, back-to-back games, both in San Antonio, a very rare occurrence. But that's this weekend. And we're going to get a lot into LeBron, what it means for him to come back, how it works with Anthony Davis, who has played so well, whether that momentum can continue. But a bit of housekeeping, we learned while we were on our Thanksgiving holiday that Patrick Beverly, thanks to his, what would you call it, a check to the back of DeAndre Ayton in Tuesday's game?
He trucked him, quite frankly. Okay, he absolutely trucked DeAndre Ayton. From behind, which some members of the Suns took exception to, the idea of shoving somebody in the back, because as we will get into, that is not an isolated incident for Patrick Beverly. The league put down a 3-game suspension, and in their rationale for doing so, noted that Patrick Beverly has a history of such behavior.
Repeat offender. Based
in part on Beverly's history of unsportsmanlike conduct or unsportsmanlike act, said the league, it's going to cost Beverly almost $270,000 in salary per Bobby Marks of ESPN. You may recall too, it's not just the first time Patrick Beverly has shoved somebody in the back and gotten suspended. It's not the most recently in the Western Conference Finals 2021. He shoved Chris Paul in the back. So he's been doing this to Suns for as long as we can remember.
So, yeah, I mean, look, we all knew a suspension was coming. I will admit I was not expecting 3 games. I will also admit I'd forgotten about some of the other things. It's about right. I mean, you can't do that. It's very dangerous. First of all, you know, Ayton, the Lakers were lucky that Ayton didn't actually land on Reeves, who was on the ground, and Ayton kind of stepped over him as he was trucked, as you said, in the back. We all knew he was going to get suspended. That wasn't a question. When I saw 3 games, I was like, whoa, that's a lot. And then I was like, oh yeah, there was, like I said, you know, recidivist, repeat offender. And so the league really, you know, has taken a stand on cracking down on recidivism. And, you know, Pat Bev, like you said, it wasn't that long ago that he did this, you know, and I am not one of these people. And I don't have the time or the patience who parses this person did this person did that, because we're talking about like individual games, like 1 game versus 2 games. It'd be one thing if some one guy got like a 17 game suspension and one guy got 2. I'm not here to parse the difference between a 1 game and a 2 game, a 2 game and a 3 game. So it seems fair enough. And 2 things about this that I think are worth talking about. The first one is,
I loved, by the way, too, Draymond Green went on Instagram and said, quote, 3 games is a bit excessive, which I just love the idea of repeat offender recognizes repeat offender. Yeah. Like guys in their clique, they got to look out for each other, because frankly, who will?
So the two things I find kind of interesting about this. The first is, this is the potentially, we'll call it the downside of the Pat Beverly experience. He is going to cost the Lakers three games. In a vacuum, the Lakers are not a team that can afford, whether you think Pat Bev should be playing 15 minutes a night, 25 minutes a night, or no minutes a night. Every player who the Lakers have available is important. And so Beverly cost them three games of his services.
He hasn't cost them three games of anything yet other than his service. If they go 3-0, right, who cares?
Sure. But it's just like, you know, the option, we talk a lot about optionality because on this team, it really matters to have the ability to do different things and mix and match, useful in some ways players, flawed in other ways players, in the best way possible for Darvin. Darvin doesn't have that option. As critical as I've been of a lot of what Beverly's done, particularly offensively, there certainly have been moments, and we'll carry this into the second part of what I think is interesting, where he's been valuable, where he has not, you know, where he's done things defensively, where he defends in a way that is harder for other people to replicate and all that. And so on the one hand, he's cost the Lakers the option of using him for three games, three very important games, it should be noted. But on the other, to a man, the Lakers appreciated what he did that got him suspended. So, you know, in terms of a potentially galvanizing moment, in terms of a character constructing moment or something like that, where this team is sort of developing its own fabric or whatever, so whatever the word is, this could be an important moment and a potentially positive one.
Yeah, I mean, Beverly himself said after the game that he was concerned that he would get suspended. I mean, he acknowledged, whether facetiously, sincerely, or somewhere in between, that this was, in his own words, unprofessional. And, you know, he said, quote, "I'm a big boy. I'll take my lumps however they come. Definitely could have reacted in a different way." Like, he's acknowledging, I did something I'm not supposed to do. I thought it was going to be a minimum of 1 to 2 games anyway. So 3 does seem tacked on as the idea of, hey, Patrick Beverly, we've seen this a lot over your career, and you don't seem discouraged by the previous punishments. Maybe an extra game or so will finally get you to get the message. You know, do I think it will? Probably not. I mean, Patrick Beverly is very wired to be Patrick Beverly. That's who he is, for better and for worse.
Well, it's the only way you can stay in the league. At 34 years old, this is how Pat Beverly stays in the league. This kind of how he stays in the league.
Right. I was going to say, I actually think at this point in his career, Patrick Beverly is established enough that if he just played with the edge but cut out the shoving, like, he actually would be just fine.
In his own brain, this is how he is wired. And he's too far into this. The habit is he can't dial it back and only, I don't think he's capable of it, because this, you know, kind of all of it is so hardwired into a guy who, this isn't cliche, really did have to scrape and claw and earn his way into a long end. I just don't think you can unwind that. And so I don't mean it as Chris. I have a tremendous admiration for Beverly and people like him who carve out really long, successful careers, to the point, Andy, that missing 3 days of work is going to cost him almost $300,000. Like, that is a chest puffy moment for any professional. I think I would be ecstatic if I was in a position where missing 3 days of my job would cost me that much money. So kudos to him for all he's accomplished.
Yeah. I guess that is sort of the glass half full way of looking at it. You can say, damn, I am really, really flipping rich. But look, some of this is also just, as we've talked about, the Patrick Beverly experience, and Patrick Beverly is very self-aware of the Patrick Beverly experience, of providing the Patrick Beverly experience, and making sure that everybody knows they are experiencing the Patrick Beverly experience. And, you know, like you, I say this without being critical of him for doing it, because in the moment, I didn't have a problem with it, because He was taking up for a teammate, and this is a team that I think is still looking for galvanizing moments to gel around and unite around, and I think this could possibly be one of them. Plus, as we discuss coming up, I'm not totally sure how much the absence is actually going to affect.
Well, okay, that's the next thing I want to get to, because the next question is, are the Lakers better off? Because you and I have been critical of Beverly, again, particularly on offense and the impact that he has on the offense, but the advanced numbers, for example, will tell you that his on-off impact, his plus-minus and all that stuff, his net rating, he is one of the strongest guys on the team in terms of players who play in the rotation. I had the highest net rating of anybody. I didn't look this morning, but you know, after heading into Tuesday's game, his net rating was the highest on the team among rotation players. So this is one of those moments where we're going to see what happens and kind of which half of this equation is right. I want to see what our predictions and thoughts are for how actually impacted the Lakers will be by not having Beverly around. And we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by ExpressVPN. We all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, but here's something you may not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries, and this is going to change your world. Just sign into Netflix, fire up the ExpressVPN app, and then change your location to whatever country, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose almost 100 different countries, so imagine all the Netflix libraries you can go through. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it, and it's ridiculously fast. ExpressVPN also works on all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, all of it. Go to expressvpn.com/lockedon right now, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/lockedon. ExpressVPN.com/lockedon to learn more.
Okay, so the other half of this equation with Patrick Beverly is whether or not the Lakers are actually better off if he isn't available. He has had a negative effect, contextually on this team offensively, because he is so useless on that side of the ball. I mean, it's not like he was an all-world scorer before, but Patrick Beverly was somebody we thought would contribute to the three-point shooting and score 10 to 12 points a game or 15 every once in a while, whatever, hit a couple three-pointers a game. He still doesn't have a game where he has more than two field goals, I don't think. That's really bad. The Lakers have been playing 4-on-5 basically every time he's out there. So that part of it makes me think the Lakers might be better off if he didn't play. The flip side is, Andy, the advanced numbers, at least some of them, say that his overall impact on the Lakers has been positive. He, on a team where everyone basically has a negative net rating, is the leader among rotation players. So which half of this do you think is telling the story?
Well, I think they both are in some respects. And I don't think the question is really, are they better off without Patrick Beverly at all? I think the real question, because I think the answer is no, they're not talented enough, I think, to be able to afford to lose anybody who contributes at all. I think really the question is just how much will they miss him? To your point, he's currently having career lows from the field, almost 27% rounding up, not good. And from the three-point line, almost 24% rounding up, also not good. And you had mentioned the best net rating on the team, despite the offense and often, frankly, the eye test. I looked up the most recent net ratings, and Thomas Bryant now has the highest of anybody in the rotation, barely positive, but one.
Right, but
one.
I wasn't counting him because he hasn't played enough minutes.
Well, I'm just telling you in terms of guys who have been in the rotation though lately and the effect he's had lately, and which also makes sense because Thomas Bryant I think has played very well since he's been back. He has the highest, followed by Wenyen Gabriel, who is basically at even. Patrick Beverly now is about fourth or fifth with a minus one, which puts him in the upper part of the rotation players. But I think it reflects, A, the serious minus 17 that he had before getting ejected against Phoenix in a net rating that I can only assume was god awful. But also, I think that he has been trending downward over the last few games in terms of that overall effect. Like if you go to Cleaning the Glass or some other places, a lot of his defensive metrics are really good. He leads the team in charges drawn. He's second on the team in deflections. Like
96th percentile in points per possession.
Right. There's a lot of things he's still doing well. He has not been awful or useless. And if you're asking me if I think he will be missed, the answer is to some degree, yes. But they also need to try to find some more help offensively, if possible, and perhaps Darvin being forced to reconfigure the rotation if the solution isn't just LeBron starting again. Maybe Darvin has to be a little bit more creative in there, maybe just having somebody in there that you have to account for offensively at all, whether it's LeBron or somebody else, makes a difference. It's worth noting, too, defensively, Max Christie has cleared the COVID health and safety protocols, so he will be back, presumably picking up some of Beverly's minutes, picking up some of Kendrick Nunn's minutes, or maybe both. Also, Juan Toscano-Anderson has been upgraded to probable, and if nothing else, he might be able to help them in some ways defensively, you know, overall, in just trying to offset Beverly's absence. So I think he is going to be missed. It's really more a matter of just how much is he going to be missed. Both of us think he should be playing fewer minutes anyway, not necessarily zero, but they should be trending in the direction of guys playing more than Beverly, the rotation operating more without Beverly anyway.
So this is one of those things, like, you know, how much Pat Bev plays, you know, deploying Wenyen Gabriel, what you're getting out of, you know, can, like, there are a lot of questions that are important for the Lakers, but that really become the sort of thing that separates, like, contending teams. You know, like when you start getting the margins and that, the 3%, the 2%, the 5%, like, how can you squeeze out every ounce of what a team is and what they're capable of? Fundamentally, what the Lakers are capable of being, just as a baseline, is based around Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It's really interesting. Like, I've seen three or four comments from the on the YouTube page, where a lot of the commenters are saying things to the effect of, like, the Lakers can't waste this Anthony Davis. What struck me about that is, that is something, that's the sentiment that had always been taken to LeBron. Like, the Lakers can't waste this LeBron. The Lakers can't waste this production that they're getting. A few people were talking about that in the context of AD. And so what the supporting cast gives you isn't as important as what Davis and LeBron give you. And now LeBron presumably is going to be back for Friday. This is the type of thing that ought to elevate the Lakers, regardless of, you know, little, you know, some of the supporting cast things. I think people are really genuinely curious, though, at this point, given how dominant Davis has been, as to how the Lakers can integrate LeBron back into the lineup without taking anything away from what AD seems to have discovered. It's kind of a fascinating moment in like this era of the Anthony Davis, LeBron James Lakers.
Well, I mean, it's the question that the Lakers had been hoping to address in real time and philosophically, I think, a couple of years ago. I think they were hoping that by the time this season had rolled around, they had already figured out the formula for this, because it was something that was happening organically anyway. Like, you know, where, you know, we talked about this before. Like, LeBron has been, ever since he and AD are, I mean, LeBron has been seen as a closer, period, ever since, you know, ever since he won that first title in Miami. You know, before, there had been some questions about him, certainly after the 2011 finals loss against the Mavericks, the only time where LeBron has legitimately crapped the bed in the finals. Like, whether his team won or lost, it's never been on LeBron other than that one year. LeBron has been seen as a closer. And if you look at their entire time as teammates over these four seasons, AD has averaged without fail more points and field goal attempts in the first quarter, regular season or playoffs. LeBron has averaged more points and field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. This includes the 2020 playoffs, where we can remember dominant moments from AD. Doesn't change the fact that LeBron has been the closer. And some of that may be functional of his position and what he does, but I think some of it is expectation that everybody has and perception that everybody has of, as ultimately LeBron is the guy that's going to take us home. And lately, AD has been playing like the dude who not only is going to take us home, but I think is playing like a guy that can take them home in ways LeBron can't. So that's going to be a really interesting dynamic to try to figure out, because I'm not, on a game in, game out basis, I don't know if AD can keep this up, but I don't think LeBron can do what AD has been doing on a game to game basis, regardless of whether either one of them can do it from now until the end of the season and hopefully the playoffs.
All right, so I know you've been looking at some numbers. The TNT folks on Tuesday night's game put up some numbers. I've been looking at some other numbers. There's no question that the last five, you know, these stretch of games, is it five games, you know, that LeBron's missed, four games?
Yep, five.
Where LeBron hasn't been in there. The offense has performed significantly better. Competition hasn't been as good. Get all that. But there are a lot of numbers that speak to LeBron as a drag on the Lakers offense. And so how do they fix that and keep Anthony Davis going? Because some of these numbers are stark, and we'll get into some of them next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Sweat Block. There is nothing worse than sweat breaking out at the absolute worst time, like at a wedding or a party, some type of festivity. You naturally want to take your jacket off, maybe that suit coat. You want to get loose, but you can't because you are just leaking from your underarm. It's unsightly. It's gross. So you end up stuck celebrating with a jacket on, looking like you're uptight because you don't want to look like the sweaty person. Nobody wants to deal with that. Sweat Block wipes are your solution. Sweat Block wipes work for up to 7 days per use. Apply them on a Sunday and you will be dry all week. And if someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, there is no better way to show them that you love them than recommending Sweat Block. Save 20% with the promo code Locked On at sweatblock.com. It's also available at Amazon.
So here are just a couple numbers. Overall offensive rating, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, both at about 110 points per possession, which, by the way, leads the team.
Two of them together have developed a nice chemistry. It was a nice chemistry, actually, that was developing last season before AD started getting hurt all the time.
So, you know, there's that. And then you look at their offensive ratings in these last five games with LeBron unavailable. It is 119.9 for Westbrook. It is 116.1 for AD. Again, competition matters. You know, you're playing, you know, the Spurs, you're playing the Nets, you're playing the Pistons, you're playing, you know, it's like this stuff does make a difference.
I don't know how Russ can possibly have a higher offensive rating than AD with what AD's been doing. That's.
I don't know either.
I'm just saying it's kind of crazy.
And I believe in analytics. I think they're important. I think I think the eye test is a place that can actually get people into a lot of trouble. I'm not one of these anti-analytics type people. There are some times when I do not get them. But to your answer, I'm not sure.
It feels like AD's offensive rating should be like 4 million over these last five games.
I mean, we're not talking about net rating either. It's like his actual, like, you know, I can understand, like, you know, the moments where he's on the floor, like off in defense, that's just offensive rating. It does seem like his should be higher. No single metric is perfect. These are all shorthands, blah, 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 blah. That just does seem weird. All caveats aside. I think when you look at LeBron, whose offensive rating is for the season is 10 points behind AD's, whose defensive rating is, you know, overall net rating, all this stuff is like he's not performing well in that regard, near the bottom of the team in terms of overall net rating. He's got to be better. And this is stuff that we had started to allude to. The offense bogged down far too much, not just him, but everyone. But a lot of that is waiting for LeBron to set up a shot. LeBron settling for a three, and he's shooting a ton of threes at a very low percentage. And then a lot of it is guys standing around watching LeBron do things instead of moving. So it's not all LeBron, but to the extent that it is, LeBron's got to get more efficient, and other guys got to start kind of moving and maximizing this. But LeBron can't get in the way of what AD has been doing.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this, you know, if LeBron does play tonight, how this dynamic evolves moving forward, both in the way that he looks for, you know, AD to have those type of offensive opportunities, the type of stuff that he looks to set up for AD, but also just the idea of LeBron needs to be a more efficient offensive player himself. Mm-hmm. These are some numbers that were put up from TNT during the game against Phoenix. With LeBron, they've been averaging a little under 107 points per game. Without him, 119. The point differential, almost minus 7 with LeBron, plus 4.4 without him. Field goal percentage with him, 44%, without him, 31. So you get some indication overall of where you're missing LeBron, but the three-point percentage has actually been better without him. On balance, they have been better offensively, more efficient offensively. Probably in some respect, Brian, you talked about the standing around thing. You come to realize it's not one guy that's going to be playing quarterback. Like even Russell Westbrook, he's typically going to go downhill to kick out, or he's going to go downhill trying to seek contact, maybe get a layup, maybe miss.
Or downhill try to score. And if anybody's paying attention, you follow that shot because he's missing an awful lot of those.
Sure. But either way, the ball, for as much as Russ can monopolize the ball, the ball has been sticking in a much less slow way with Russ than
it's been less
with
sticky.
LeBron.
It's not sticking as much.
Yeah. I mean, everything has become very static this season so far with LeBron. And the truth is, if this team, you know, there's always a lot of talk about the moves that they either make or don't make. And the truth is, if they're going to make an all-in move, obviously this season, it's obviously going to be dictated in part by how AD is playing and hoping he stays healthy, but also too, quite frankly, LeBron, because there's always the idea of just doing this because you can't afford to waste LeBron. LeBron right now has not been playing at a level where you necessarily feel like it's such a crime to waste it.
Yeah, it's... And some of this to me is really about AD. And you look at what the Lakers have been able to do with him. He's taking 54% of his shots this season at the rim. All this is per cleaning the glass. You know, 54% of his shots at the rim this year. That is by far his highest number as a Laker. And it's his highest number since he was a rookie with the Pelicans in 2012, 2013. So this would be currently the second highest mark of his career, only the second time that he has been over 50% taking shots at the rim, defined by cleaning glasses within 4 feet. Short mid, which is, you know, that you know, this is a space, you know, outside 4 feet, inside the free throw line, basically. 27%, that's up from 21%. And this, I think, is critical. Three-point shots, I think we all know what that is, how that's defined, down to 7% of the shots that he's taking. In his first year in LA, that was 17%. These are all really healthy trends that explain why he's scoring as efficiently as he is, why he's living at the free throw line over the last four or five games. And for the Lakers to quote unquote cook, these trends have to continue. Anthony Davis, as LeBron has said, as Darvin Ham has said, as we have said, as everyone has said, needs to be their best player on a night-in, night-out basis, sort of statistically, for the Lakers to get where they're going. He needs to be the dominant one. And so he wasn't at the beginning of the year. He is right now. And I'm not saying it's LeBron's fault, but the biggest change is the presence or absence of James. And so, like I said, these next two or three games, four games, hopefully, with LeBron back on the floor, it's nice that it happens against San Antonio, even in their building, because bad teams allow you have a chance to build up this stuff. But, man, if things go back to a really bad offensive team, Andy, if Anthony Davis goes back to being that, oh, where's that dude? People are going to start looking at LeBron as the difference here.
The last thing I would say with LeBron before we go is, I mean, obviously the solution is not simply make more shots, do it better, because if it was that simple, I have faith in LeBron that he would just start doing it better. Not
bench LeBron.
No, that is clearly not it either. Obviously there are reasons why LeBron has not been scoring at an efficient clip as he had in the past. Maybe it's related to the foot issue he's been dealing with. Maybe it was related to not sick. And there's also the age factor, whatever. The one area where I think LeBron can be immediately better is his decision-making. His decision-making to start this season before the groin injury sidelined him, to be totally honest, has not been very good. He's often thrown risky passes, whether they're turned over or not. His shot selection, I think, to put it generously, has been settling. There is a lot where somebody like LeBron, who is inarguably one of the smartest players to ever play this game, beyond one of the best players to ever play this game, he can simply make better decisions. And I think making better decisions alone will help in some respect with that efficiency we're talking about.
Yeah. And hopefully a more dominant Davis both makes his decision tree easier. And it takes some of the pressure off of him to perform and dominate in that way every single night, which I do think is a reason that some of the efficiency goes down, where he puts too much on himself, or you want that sort of symbiotic relationship to develop, where Anthony Davis makes LeBron's life easier, makes LeBron better, which makes Anthony Davis's life easier. And that's what the Lakers are needing. So we'll see what happens on Friday, presuming LeBron plays. Hopefully he's able to play Saturday as well. And going forward, Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show. Often, again, before the audio folks get a chance to hear what's going on. Thank you, everybody, for subscribing. Tell a friend to subscribe, particularly if that friend is a Laker fan, and we will see everybody next time.